Hello, everyone, and welcome to Petite de Queen's Claim Your Career Crown podcast. I'm your host, Lynn, and today I'm joined by our returning guest, Robin Sachs. And for those of you who have not tuned in before, I want to tell you what the great conversation that Robin and I are going to have today. We're going to be talking about how to best connect with others during virtual meetings. That's our world, and it's going to be here forever until something new and better comes along. And for some background, if you haven't listened in or tuned in for one of the shows that Robin's been on, Robin is a confidence performance coach. She's a professional speaker, an author, and motivator. And I think that's the most important thing about why she's going to be able to bring us some great special sauce today. Robin has facilitated personal and professional development workshops internationally for companies including Microsoft, Panera, and American Greetings. And her professional experience includes being an on-air talent for NBC and ABC network affiliates. And it doesn't stop there. Robin is an award-winning journalist, and she has also trained Emmy Award nominees and an Emmy Award winner. Wow, that is pretty amazing. Her coaching clients range from young athletes to Fortune 500 executives. And her book, Get Off My Bus, How to Get Clarity, Get in the Driver's Seats, and Get Moving in Your Life. So it was nominated for a Small Business Trends Business Book of 2010. So pardon as I read my notes, but this is so much. Welcome. Welcome, Robin. I'm so thrilled to have you back on the show today.
Oh, glad to be here, Lynn. Thanks for the invite to share some new and different stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what our world is right now. And as I said, until the next big thing comes along, we really need to dive in and adapt. So before we get started, for everyone who's joining us for that first time, hey, don't miss a single episode. Hit that subscribe button. And please do us a favor while you're at it. Share the love and click all 5 stars. Okay, Robin, virtual meetings. Let's get into this talk because this is so important for our audience. They're going to get a lot out of this. You know, they just become obviously ubiquitous with COVID and the whole pandemic. It's people who hadn't been familiar with doing them or doing them very minimally have had to change that. They certainly might have been used to being on calls, but now they're virtual where they're seeing people on the other end. So how do you think people have adapted to our virtual landscape that we're in?
Well, you know what? I always like to bring, anytime there's a change, I like to bring it back to the very core, the most simplest component. And the reality is, whether we're virtual or whether we're face-to-face or on a phone call, we're simply a person talking to another person. That's all it is. That never, ever changes. And it's always kind of funny because as humans, we get in our heads about things and make things so different than what they really are. The reality is we're still just people talking to other people. The venue may have changed, right? Some of the energy may have changed because obviously, when we're in person, there's a different energy than when we're virtual, but that doesn't mean that those are better or worse or good or bad or right or wrong. And we'll talk a lot about that. But, you know, at the core, it's people talking to people. That's what it's always been. It's never been something different. And that's what it is now and what it'll continue to be. And I think that as we worked through getting more accustomed to, possibly even a little more comfortable working remotely and communicating remotely, I think that was really the foundational component that got people a little more comfortable with it, that really brought people into, hey, we can still do business. We can be effective. We can be efficient. We can be productive. And one of the things I love about what happened was, ironically, the technology made us all more human. Because, you know, back in the day, a year and a half ago, you know, business was always tended to be a little more serious. And we'd walk into conference rooms in suits and we'd talk to each other and we'd sit in ways that we thought people, you know, would perceive us as professional and confident and all those things. And now we've got cats walking across our keyboard. We've got, you know, a kid walking behind, putting his head in, seeing, who are you talking to, Mom? You know, we see each other's houses and offices and backgrounds and living rooms. It's just, it's brought us down a level from a stress standpoint, I think, as ironic as that sounds. It's just made us more real. And I'm hoping going forward that that's the thing that gets brought with people, is that let's not go back to being a bunch of stuffy, boring business people. Because I, you know what, I got news for you. Nobody really cares. It's a, that was a show for so many people. And, you know, give yourself permission not to put the show on anymore. Show up as you, be authentic, be genuine, and bring your value to the world. So I think that going forward, it'll be interesting to see what pieces of what we did before people choose to bring forward with them, and what pieces of what we've learned how to do now they're going to choose to bring forward, and what we're just going to leave behind and say, hey, that's okay. It wasn't right or wrong, good or bad. We've just found some great ways to connect as people, sometimes in person and sometimes virtually, because it's just easier.
Yeah. Now and I have to tell you that I've actually been operating virtually for decades. So at one point in my career, I elevated into high positions of leadership. I was actually reporting into another state. I had clients that were truly all over the world. And I was still being put on a plane and traveling every week, but I also was having a lot of virtual meetings. And initially, you know, they were with the phone calls, you know, where we were phoning in. But the one thing that was amazing to me as we transitioned into video was that then you could actually see, it was so much easier to actually understand people and sort of read what was happening, because you can watch someone's eyes, you can watch their facial expressions, their body language. It made it so much easier. So I have just embraced that. And for so much for me, I mean, I always brought my authentic self into the meetings. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. But I do understand what you're saying, that some people have this formality that they felt was necessary in those in-person, you know, the walking into the conference room, walking into a meeting, and have had to let go of some of what I would call the straight jacket baggage. And I think the only one that I still retain is that putting on my war paint before I go into a virtual meeting, unless it's something that's completely unplanned or et cetera. I still do what I, you know, for me, you know, it's like, okay, I got to put makeup on. I got to do my hair. That's the war paint. And so that's the one thing that, at least to this point, I haven't given up on.
And Lynn, I love how you said it. You do it for you. If you're doing anything for you, that's fantastic. The thing is if we realize sometimes we were doing things to show up for other people, yeah, it's a great time to question that and say, is that what I want to keep doing? Is that necessary? And let's be honest, there are some industries that formality is part of the game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
and again, no judgment, just awareness. But again, the reality is, do you want to play that game? If you do, fantastic. Go and play and enjoy it. A lot of people, I think, found out over the last year that, whoa, I was playing a game and I maybe didn't even realize it, or realize how much that really wasn't me. And now there's some opportunities to make some shifts if that's something we want to do. Yeah. And in the virtual world, like you also said, Lynn, it's not just about finding the next local job in my area. It's I can connect to the world thanks to these boxes that we all stare into now, right? Right? Whether it's in the palm of my hand or sitting on my desk, the world now I can communicate with the push of a button. And I can't do that in person. That's something that we can do now. It's so easy to connect and reconnect. And that's the beauty of virtual.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. And I think that sort of segues into, the public speaking aspect, because when you're going into a conference, you know, or you're going into a conference room or into a meeting, that's still an element of public speaking. It could be actually speaking at an event versus a virtual setting and an in-person setting. I mean, there are these different elements, right? And in some ways you can think it's easier or harder. So it would be interesting for me. I think one thing is that in either place, in either setting, you really need to have planned, let's say you're planned your tech, because if you're going to be speaking at a venue, you need to make sure that, like I'm a Mac user. So often I would have to make sure that my presentation, if I was going to have to plug it into someone else's computer. So I had flown, to Scotland for a big presentation, and I had to put my flash drive in, or I had to hook up my computer to their projector. I had to make sure I had all the right things and that was going to work. So that's one element that I think that awareness is important, especially if you're, you know, really highly functioning. And to me, planning, if you plan, then things don't go sideways as easily.
Right. Things go a little smoother with just a little bit of planning. So true.
So how do you think is it easier or harder, or what's the difference, you know, with this in-person versus virtual setting?
So, you know, a couple of thoughts, you know, what you just said, Lynn, so true. One of the things about the virtual communication now that's kind of easy, I think, is it's my laptop.
Yeah.
It's my PowerPoint deck on my laptop. It's my camera on my laptop, or it's my phone in my hand, or it's my tablet sitting on a table. And the other thing is it's my environment.
Yeah.
So from a technology standpoint, you know, any of us who have spoken in other places, we know what you're talking about, where you have to really be in sync with that stuff and think about it, because at any given moment, you know, the bulb on the PowerPoint projector can blow and they don't have another ball. Can you do what you need to do? Can you deliver your message without your stuff? Right? You got to think about that stuff. Same thing with computers. If this cord doesn't work or go into my particular type of device, what do I do? If I don't have a flash drive or I can't email it to you, there's no Wi-Fi, what do I do? So one of the things I think virtual takes out of the mix is really all of that stuff, because, you know, if I know where I can get a Wi-Fi signal or have a hotspot, and if I know where I can, you know, sit down and open my laptop, boom, I'm on. Yeah. And I don't have to go through other people to be able to get those things done. So that's kind of a nice little aside thing with our actual.
Let alone all the travel things. I mean, I definitely recall having my luggage lost and having to stay overnight somewhere, which I hadn't planned, and then having to rush to like get up at some crazy time in the morning so I would have what I needed for a meeting. And just all those different elements some of which were completely out of your control. And the same thing can happen virtually. You know, your Wi-Fi can go down. You know, for those of us who are doing this, there's so much scramble for people to get what they needed. I think the one other great thing is that you can make virtual meetings as engaging as live events. And it just takes, once again, a little bit of planning ahead of time and conscious thought, you know, so that you can put that in place. And so that's a great question to talk to you about. How can you ensure that you're an engaging speaker during virtual meetings?
Yeah. And I love that question. And I'm going to answer it in a way that might kind of take some people aback a little bit. My experience is people who weren't as engaging as they thought they were in person are the same people who aren't terribly engaging virtually. It's not the medium. It's, are you a good storyteller? Can you help people understand your message? Are you interesting to watch or to listen to? Or are you, again, no judgment, just awareness, bringing your PowerPoint deck in and speaking to it and showing a bunch of numbers and talking about things and sounding like a robot and telling me things that you could have emailed and I could have read them? You know, and so it's, again, it goes back to that human element. The thing that's always kind of fun to me when I work with people with things like public speaking and storytelling and confidence is it has nothing to do with your content.
Yeah.
It has so much to do with just you giving yourself permission to bring you to the table, to bring your personality in, to remind yourself it's not about you at all. It's about them. If somebody asks you to speak on something or share something, it's because they don't know, or they think you have a value to bring into the mix. And so they're inviting you into the room, so to speak, to do that. And we all get in our heads and start thinking about, how am I going to mess this up? Am I prepared enough? Do I have all my stuff? Oh, what if they ask a question I don't have the answer to? And we just get so nervous and stressed and anxious. That's very common, that all of that gets in the way of you being able to just show up and effectively just communicate something. And the audience or the people, they're not thinking any of that stuff you're thinking, right?
You're projecting onto them. Exactly. Yeah.
And if you think about it, we spend most of our lives in the audience, so to speak, right? Most people are the person in front of the room all the time. So think about it. When you're the one listening to somebody speaking, whether it's in a large venue or it's on a virtual call with, 10 people on the team, or it's a one-on-one thing, if you're the listener or the audience or the attendee, in the back of your mind, one, you want to learn something, or you want to get something out of this, because if not, it feels like a waste of time, right? I'm thinking, what's in it for me, right? If I need to sit here and spend some time, give me what I need so I can go out and do what I need to do, right? I have 700 emails, 34 phone calls, and I've got a meeting at 2:00. Why are you wasting my time? Get to the point. Tell me, engage me, interest me. And oftentimes the greatest way to be engaging and interesting is just to get to the point. You know, it's amazing. We as a society love to info dump. And again, no judgment, just awareness. And think about when you're listening to somebody, you listen for about 20 seconds, and then right about then your brain starts to determine, am I going to go in my head and start making my grocery list? Because you've already kind of lost me, because you're already telling me things I don't think I need to know, or I don't know where you're going with it. And we drift quickly because we have other stuff to do and think about.
Yeah.
Or did you go in really concise, get to the point, and then engage me maybe by bringing me into the mix, or throwing something back out to me to ask me about? And in other words, engage in a conversation, not just sit there and present to me. And, when you actually engage or bring people in or ask questions, and what I mean by that is you have prepped and may already have all the answers. The difference between engaging and presenting is I have all the answers, and I'm going to just come tell them to you.
Yeah.
Engaging is I already know all the answers because I've prepped, but I'm going to facilitate you getting to those answers yourself, because then you're totally into it and you have a sense of ownership, right? So, at any point that you can bring people in and guide them to saying what you would have otherwise said, you just took engagement through the roof. And it's not because you really did anything differently or prepared differently. It's that you let them get to the answers. And don't we all feel great when that's part of, when I go, oh, so this happens when you do that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I would have said, hey, if you do A, you get B. Those are very different feels, right? And a lot of times I think that that's what people think of when they think in person versus virtual. It's the energy, it's the feel, right? In person, I can do that more. And the reality is, no, your approach or how you have that conversation can be done anywhere in any venue. And you can be incredibly engaging. And if people walk out the door and go, I get it, or that's really cool, or that's exciting, I never thought about it that way. And all of a sudden, they're with you. They're with you. If I just walk in and tell them everything I presented, I prepared, I've already lost you within a couple of minutes. And it's not them. It's not necessarily the topic. It's the approach. And so there are skill sets that you can learn to really just engage people Because again, it goes back to, you're just a person talking to a person. And don't we all have people that we're really engaged with when we're talking to them? Yes. Whether it's a friend or a coworker or a boss or a team member or something. And we have other people that as soon as they open their mouths, we're like, oh my goodness, not again.
Yeah.
Right?
We could yes, be absolutely.
Exactly. And so what I can bring is going to change how other people engage or interact with me. And so those are some skill sets that anyone can learn. People who do those things are not just naturals. They've learned a skill set that anyone can learn. Anyone can learn. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert, if you're young or if you're old. It doesn't matter any demographic you might fall into or not. It's simply a skill set.
Yeah.
So anybody can learn to do that.
Yep. And it's never too late. And you can just start today. So I want to encourage them. And I know that for presentations or meetings or whatever it happens to be, I follow this 4B rule, which is be prepared, be brief, be enthusiastic, and be gone. So that's sort of to your point, get to the point, you know, but you got to share your passion and excitement about it because that's contagious. And, you know, another thing is to engage the audience by saying, okay, well, this is what we're talking about. I want somebody in the audience or someone in the room right now, what you've got going on, and it could be a virtual room. So tell me what's happening and we're going to just do this right now live, you know, and go through. And then people like, oh, And you can say, you know, this may not be your situation, but there are patterns here that you're going to be able to recognize that you're going through yourself. And so you get everybody really leaning into that. And then they just, it's sort of like, okay, somebody's going to sort of call on me or ask me to come forward. And that's a great way to also drive engagement in the meetings. And of course, to your point, telling a story that people can associate with. And it brings it back like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. It does make it so much easier to capture a concept when you do that. And it can be a story, it can be an analogy, a metaphor, and it's a way to get people thinking and talking about it. So, you know, when you're on these virtual meetings, you know, how can you make connections. Now, and I have to tell you, I'm really curious to see what you think, Robin, because I often make connections on things that I'm on, and I have people private message me, oh, I love what you said. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's just my bubbly self, but how can people really bring that to the forefront?
Yeah, you know, that old saying comes to mind, right? Facts tell, emotions sell. And a lot of times, you know, think about it. If you're supposed to speak at something, whether it's a small meeting or a quick conversation or a large type of event, where do we spend all of our time prepping? We don't spend any time prepping ourselves. We spend all of our time prepping our stuff, our materials. What are the words? What's the content? When am I going to say this? How am I going to talk about this? And we practice it. We pull up words and we rehearse words, right? And sometimes people say they memorize their script, so to speak, you know, or what's going to be on the PowerPoint. And I got to tell you, when we talk about engagement and bringing some energy to the conversation or the presentation, it has almost nothing to do with your content or the right words in the right order or how many facts you have versus how many examples. The idea is this: your content is important because that's what gets you invited into the room, right? You've got to have a sense of, you've got to kind of know what you're talking about. But beyond that, preparing yourself is absolutely key. And what I mean by that is, you know, some people have very high energy, let's say, and sometimes we label those people as extroverts or you've had 7 cups of coffee today. You know, there are people with just a natural higher energy. There are people with a natural lower energy, right? And they can come into the room and it's not about bouncing off the walls, but wow, they walk in, they bring something so subtly and they walk out and you just, it's there.
Yeah.
And it's not that a high or low energy is the key to it, because high energy people really need to sometimes rechannel that
down. Yeah.
or you push people away. The same how really low energy people can push people away because it does become monotone or a little bit, okay, get to your point. So the idea of kind of finding that middle ground that your listeners or your audience need when it comes to energy is really something to kind of think about for yourself. And everyone's is going to be a little different. The first way to figure this out is, one, give yourself permission to be you.
Yes.
Please do not try and be someone else you think someone else thinks you need to be. Don't play that game. The only thing that every one of us has that is an absolute superpower is that we are us. No one else is us. Other people have the knowledge we have. Other people know all the same stuff we do. Other people have the opportunities or the venues to do things. The only thing that makes it different is us. That's why, like, I work a lot in personal and professional development. Nobody's said anything different in personal development for 3,000 years. It's all the same, like, four things, right, about how to improve yourself. But think of all of the people who say it a little differently. And we all have our favorites, right? And your favorite might be someone I'm not a fan of, and vice versa. So it's not the content or the ideas or the concepts. The information is simply the information, but how you bring it to the table is something very different. And so when I say that, you know, we prep everything but ourselves, yeah, you kind of got to know your stuff, but then you've got to connect to it. How do you feel about this? Are you excited to share this? Do you really not care? Is this a big deal? Because this could change someone's life or make them go, I just had an aha moment. What an epiphany. That helped me. Thank you. Or are you going to waste half an hour of their time and they walk out the door and go, well, there's a half hour I'm not going to get back. I knew that.
I was actually on something on Monday that I had that exact thing. It was just like, okay, that was, you know, an hour I'm never going to get back.
Right.
So, you know, and you do. And I think that one thing that people do, they have this, they have to get past for the professional and personal development is to get back past the fear of showing up as yourself, your authentic self, standing in your own power. You know, I've had some people say that I laugh too much or I'm too cheerful. And it's like, okay, well, that's who I am. It's like a core part of who I am, and I'm not going to change that. And I have other people who love it. So it's like, that's okay. But the key thing is, and I've actually gone into like huge rooms, and I've had people afterwards say that I was a hoot and that was the best presentation. So they like to put me like after lunch. It's like, oh, you're kidding me. You know, that's like the dead hour, you know, everyone's had their lunch. So it's, you know, but the thing is I also love what you said. If you don't believe in what you're saying and you're not passionate about it, it's the same thing if you're selling a product or service. If you don't believe that this is going to help them make their lives better, make their business better, then what the heck are you doing selling that product or service?
Exactly.
You've got to find something else because you've got to be able to pour your heart and soul into it because that's what makes it incredibly fulfilling for you to know that you're going to help them and change them. So that's the same thing about meetings. You've got to go in knowing that you have something of value that's going to help them or change them. Even if it's just a simple business meeting, we got some great results. We know that this channel really works and this is why. And this is our plan on how we're going to leverage this.
Yeah.
That's the type of information that people in the room are, they're going to go, wow, we've had a win. This is exciting. We've got progress. We have direction. Woohoo!
and you know, the flip side of that is, it's equally as engaging to walk in and go, wow, this isn't working. I'd love to open it up and let's take about 10 minutes and brainstorm. I'd love to get your input. Why do you think it's not working? What can we do differently? What can we change? Again, it's that whole idea of, if I can make you feel good because there's something good going on, I need to be sharing that. If there's not something good happening, I need to make sure that you do feel seen and heard. And yeah. And by that, I'm going to pull you in and say, what can we do about this? I value your input. Let's brainstorm. There's nothing that's off the table. And again, so whether things are good or bad or going well or tanking, people aren't used to feeling seen and heard. And the moment that you can engage someone by really saying, I'm hearing you, or I want to hear what you have to say, you know, nothing is a silly idea. I know there are no stupid questions. There aren't. If we don't know something, somebody's got to ask the question. So there are no, the stupid question is the one that's not asked, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
How do I bring those people into the mix? And, you know, a perfect example of this, when you leave that passion or energy out, and again, by passion, we don't mean you've got to be in love with this idea and it's got to be your life. By passion, we mean you kind of connect how you feel about this. Is this a good or a bad thing? Do you care? Do you not care? Is this a waste of time? If I get on a meeting and there's nothing else to say, just because we have it scheduled for an hour doesn't mean we have to sit here. If we've got nothing else to say, let's get off the call, right?
Yes, we got stuff to do.
Exactly. And it's like so often you see people just going through the motions of a meeting and you're thinking, of course, nobody's paying attention and nobody's engaged. You're not doing or saying anything. You could record this and do it every single week the same way. But, you know, a perfect example of how leaving the human element or the human feeling or the tone of your voice or how your, you know, your passion out of the mix and having it completely fall flat. We've all had experiences texting or with emails where all we have are the words.
Yeah.
And when all you have are the words and the human element is taken out, there's no vocal tone.
Yeah.
There's no body language I can see, like in a video call or in person, I'm missing how you're saying what you're saying. That stuff gets misinterpreted all the time. Because if I don't know how you're saying it, I'm going to interpret it from wherever I am in that moment. And if I just got off of a really bad phone call and then read your message, I'm going to read it one way. If I just got off of a phenomenal conversation and I read it, I'm going to read it a very different way. Right. And so that's why that human element is so important. It brings so much more to the table and it doesn't just tell us what you're saying, which are what the words actually say, but it tells us why you're saying it. Why do we care? Should we care? Or is this a waste of our time?
Yeah.
Is this going to help us? What's it going to do for me? Is it going to make my life better, my job easier? If so, if you can convey that to me at the beginning, I want you to do X. If you do X, Y is going to happen. And that's something of interest to you. If I can't communicate that right up front, people are going to stop listening quickly. If I can explain to you why you might want to do this, because here's how it benefits you right at the start, people are going to be with you. And so, you know, again, some of those little ways to engage, you know, unfortunately in school, we're all taught to write really the wrong way when it comes to effective communication. We're taught, you know, our book reports and essays we did in school. That's not how we talk. That's not how we motivate people or persuade people. And so we were all taught to kind of info dump. Because we had to write 4 pages or 7 paragraphs and it had to be 5 sentences each. In my opinion, totally different subject and soapbox for a different day. A real disservice to just teaching people, starting when we're younger, how to be effective communicators and actually communicate as human beings, not a bunch of sentences on pieces of paper. And so a lot of the struggle with how do I engage people, I find goes back to we're trying to write these scripts the way we've always kind of learned or been taught to write these scripts. And those are the least engaging ways or the least effective ways to engage people ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, having conversations, thinking in terms of what's important to them. Let me start there. Right. Because in the school essay, that was in paragraph 3.
Yeah.
But in real life, that's your second sentence. And so, you know, how do you just kind of rethink how you have conversations and how do you go in concise knowing you can always bring more information out as opposed to going in with an info dump and then being done? You know, if I go in concise, I can engage people to bring out a little more. They can ask questions. I can answer them, right? I can ask if anyone has an example or have had an experience themselves, and that brings more out. We grow the conversation together as opposed to me just coming in and doing it all.
Yeah.
And that is the key component to engagement.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been such a great conversation. I think let's wrap it up with your top, if you're going to have someone walk away and change something that they're doing today so that they can get more out of their virtual meeting, a webinar, summit, workshop, whatever it is they're doing, what would that be?
All right. If I had to pick one, I'm going to say, make people feel seen and heard.
Yeah, that's great.
One of the greatest ways to engage is make people feel included. And because most people don't. And one, that takes a little bit of the pressure off of you because you don't feel like you have to come in and do it all, because you don't. Please don't ever tell yourself that. That's not true. And two, it only takes one person, and that one person will speak up. They'll step up. And the floodgates will open, because when you make people feel comfortable to share,
yes,
people will share, and you will get amazing value and amazing conversations and amazing ideas out of people that used to sit in meetings with you in person or virtual and not say a word because they never felt like they were able to or encouraged to participate. And the moment you allow them to do that, all of a sudden you've got everything you hoped you would have from a team.
Yeah. I mean, hearing someone else's approach, which you would not considered, you can have blinders on that you're not aware of, finding out about a risk that had not been considered, all of that is so important to get that information out. And the only way you can do that is to make sure people know that that meeting is a safe place where they can speak up, speak their minds, that you are genuinely curious and avidly interested in their thoughts, and on their experience and what's going on in their department or their workspace that applies. Or maybe it doesn't quite, but there's some correlation or something that connects. And that's an amazing piece. And I love what you said there, Robin. It's so perfect. I would like to add is to look people in the eye, because when you look people in the eye, it also conveys that you respect them. And so one of the things that I had to learn, and I used a sticky note, the little flag right above my camera on my Mac, so that I could make sure that I'm looking at that green dot, so that I'm looking them in the eye. And if I'm going to look down and take notes or I have to read, I just say, listen, I don't have this memorized. I got to check my notes here. Let me look at this. Or I love what you're saying. I want to write it down. Mm-hmm. And I always make sure that people know that from the beginning so that they don't think that when I look down, I'm looking at my phone. It's mm-hmm. because I'm really interested in what they have to say and I'm making notes. And when I've set that expectation, then they're not projecting like, oh, she's texting someone, she's looking at Facebook, she's not even hearing what I'm having to say. Instead, it comes from a different place. She respects me. She's interested. Matt, she's taking notes. Whoa, this is cool.
Right. It goes back to that. When you do those types of things and people see that, you know what? They feel seen and heard. And again, it goes back to if I'm looking at the camera, I'm making eye contact with you. I'm not looking at the screen because then my eyes would be down, right?
Yes, I know.
If I'm looking at the camera, by the way, here's a quick little trick to get you really comfortable looking at that little dot on your laptop or phone. Cut out a little picture of someone you like. It could be a pet. It could be a friend. It could be a family member, a celebrity. It doesn't matter. Someone you really like and enjoy talking to. Cut out a picture of their face and put a little hole in the eye and put it up so that the camera eye is coming through their eye. You'll be staring at a human face. your facial expression, your body language, your voice will change, and you'll never not be looking at that camera because you're having a conversation with someone you already enjoy doing that with.
That is a really brilliant idea. I know that when way back when I started my career in sales, so back when dinos roamed the earth, right? I would put a mirror at the phone, a little mirror, so that I could make sure that I was smiling when I talked to people. Because when you smile, your vocal cords are changed, you know, they're pulled differently and people can hear the warmth in your voice. So even when back in the, like I said, the dark ages, and it was just phones, people could hear that. And for everybody who's listening on a podcast and they're not seeing the video, that's not the dark ages. Well, Robin, this has been such a great conversation. I am so appreciative. That was just a gem at the end and all the way through. I know that our audience is going to want to know more about where they can find out about you so they can really tune in to how we can make stronger connections virtually and every other way with our personal and professional development. So where can they find you?
Oh, I appreciate that, Lynn. My website is robinjsachs.com, or if you just Google me, it'll come up. And lots of free articles, free videos and stuff on there on really simple, how do I get more confident? How do I switch that negative self-talk into better self-talk? All of those types of little tidbits and tips and tricks. So hop on there for anything. You can go directly there and contact me. Feel free. I'm on LinkedIn daily. So please don't hesitate if you'd like to connect or follow or reach out if you have questions, whether you're looking for some sort of coaching or if you just want to kind of touch base and have each other as part of each other's network because we see the value. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I'd love to connect.
And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And this has been such a great conversation for our audience. If you have ideas that you'd like to share, we love hearing from you. You can leave us a comment. You can email us at jointheconversation@petitetoqueen.com with suggestions or questions. And of course, we really hope that you are so in love with what we're providing, the insightful advice, the resources, all of the breakthrough advantages, that you go to petitetoqueen.com and sign up for our weekly wisdoms newsletter. And you won't miss a single thing, or such as these amazing episodes that we just had with Robin. Robin, thank you again. I am so glad that you have come back. We're going to have to do this again and again.
Lynn, I appreciate the invite. Anytime I can share and hopefully add some value that people can walk away with and go, aha, I learned something and I can use that in my life. I am here. So you let me know.
Yes, that's wonderful. It's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.